From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, it's California's next governor.
Let's take back California!
I will always stand up for you.
We're going to clean out the barn.
Budgets are statements of values.
It's time to choose courage. Courage for a change.
We need to make that dream possible again.
I'm Ben Adler. There are a lot of people running for governor of California this year to replace termed out Democrat Jerry Brown. We thought you might like to get to know them a bit before you vote in the June 5th primary. So we've posted a series of quick podcasts introducing you to the leading candidates.
My opponents in this race, they've spent a lot of time telling us what can't be done. We need a governor that says what can be done.
Meet Democrat Gavin Newsom, the former mayor of San Francisco and now California's lieutenant governor.
I believe very passionately in this debate, and I'm going to lean into it aggressively.
Newsom has made the uphill battle for single-payer health care a core part of his campaign.
None of this is for the lighthearted. None of it's for the timid. But that said, the only candidate running for office that actually has real experience around this is me.
And he says his careers in both the public and private sectors shape what he'd bring to the governor's office.
A willingness to be bold, a willingness to get out front on issues, a willingness to tackle vexing problems.
On this episode of California's Next Governor, we sit down with Democrat Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom says he has the courage and record of accomplishments to advocate for bold change in Sacramento. At San Francisco City Hall, he defied the law to marry same-sex couples. And after initially fighting a city ordinance to bring universal health care access to residents, he embraced it. As lieutenant governor, he pushed gun control and recreational marijuana ballot measures. Now, he's hoping that grassroots energy for progressive goals such as single payer will propel him to the governor's mansion. And so far, polls show he's the frontrunner in the June primary. The top two finishers, regardless of political party, will advance to the November general election. When we sat down in April, I asked Gavin Newsom the same question as all the other candidates. With so many people running for governor, why do you think you're the best and most qualified person for the job?
I'm offering up a certain brand of leadership that goes back not just to my days as a county supervisor and a former two-term mayor in San Francisco and now my second term as lieutenant governor, but as an entrepreneur. I'm the one candidate in this race that has a business background, an entrepreneurial business background, small businesses, 23, close to 800 employees. And I say that not to impress, but impress upon you a strong entrepreneurial bias in terms of the energy I bring into my public service, a willingness to take risks, a willingness to be bold, a willingness to get out front on issues, a willingness to tackle vexing problems by trying to solve them, not manage them. It's been a big part of the work I did as mayor around marriage equality and health care, on early preschool and early childhood education, the work I am committed to as lieutenant governor around gun safety and issues related to criminal justice reform. And I think I bring that kind of energy into not just this race, but I hope to bring it into the governor's office.
What would you do as governor that Jerry Brown, who by many accounts has had a successful governorship, if you're a Democrat at least, what would you do that he has not?
Well, I think he's done an extraordinary job. And just think back 7 years, $27 billion budget deficit and 12.4% unemployment rates, and people were talking about splitting the state up into six. Now they're only talking about splitting up into three, a bit tongue-in-cheek. Governor Brown really envisioned a framework to address the issue that he had at his desk, and that was the issue of solvency and triage in a profoundly significant way. He's going to leave us with a $13.5 billion rainy day reserve, a bond rating that's back in much better place than it was when we started. He's, I think, done a remarkable job for this state. The question is, how can we address the really stubborn issues of income and wealth disparity, issues associated with social mobility? How do we address some of the challenging issues around the achievement gap that for me are really a readiness gap? And so the emphasis that I would take that may distinguish from the governor would be probably a more aggressive focus on early childhood development and a more aggressive focus, I think, on the nature of change of work and focusing on workforce development and reigniting and reimagining a 21st century higher education system.
So you've made your support for single-payer health care in California one of the signature issues of the campaign. Your rivals have accused you of going back and forth on it, and specifically on the single-payer health care bill currently stalled in the Assembly. So just straight up, do you support SB 562?
No, I haven't supported it without amendments, and I've been crystal clear about that. It's an interesting discussion because everybody that is running, and the candidate, at least on the Democratic side, has been very public in their support of single payer. The difference is they say they support single payer and then say five or six things after that of why it can't be done. The difference between myself and them is I believe we can achieve it, but I'm not naive about it. And I'm not naive about the limitations that are currently in 562. And the authors themselves have been very honest about it. It was amended 17 times before it was killed by the assembly. And everybody acknowledges, from the nurses to the principal co-sponsors, that there's a lot of work to do on 562. So I would not accept as is 562, but I accept its principles of moving in a completely new direction as it relates to addressing the crisis that is healthcare. And I say crisis because healthcare is devouring the state budget. None of this is for the lighthearted. None of it's for the timid. But that said, the only candidate running for office that actually has real experience around this is me. And I say that not to, you know, as bravado, but as a point of consideration. I was mayor of a county. We did universal health care. We fully implemented, regardless of pre-existing conditions, ability to pay, and regardless of your immigration status. It's a point of pride, and it's enjoying its 10th anniversary this year in San Francisco. So I believe very passionately in this debate, and I'm going to lean into it aggressively.
You mentioned that what you did in San Francisco was universal healthcare, right? So not single payer, it was a universal model. And there's a difference because it's within the existing system. That is similar to what a series of proposals in the state legislature right now would do. So what I'm curious about is that an acceptable outcome for you? Is universal healthcare in California acceptable, or will only single payer do?
No, universal health care is ultimately the goal, and how we achieve it, I'm not ideological about it. Do I believe that a single-payer financing framework is the most cost-effective way of achieving it? I do. Long believe that. And the fact is, you can say single-payer is many things. One thing, it is not, because you can't simply identify any example, is more expensive.
On taxes, Governor Brown made a promise when he ran back in 2010, no new taxes without voter approval. Will you make that same pledge?
Yeah, I'm for tax reform and no new massive tax reform without the support of the people of this state.
What does tax reform mean?
It means broadening the tax base, addressing the issue of volatility. It means addressing the fact that by some estimates, I think this is on the high end, but I've read at least one study that suggested on the extreme end, 85% of our economy is currently not taxed. We're a service economy. We have an economy that was built for a world that no longer exists. I want to convene an effort to more broadly look at our tax code, modernize it.
Would your tax reform be revenue neutral?
I'm not going to prescribe any parameters. One thing I've learned the hard way as a former mayor, chief executive of a city, that if you come in with strong bias and that's expressed in a way, you then turn off half the folks in the room. What I want to do is begin anew with an open mind, not an ideological prism. And to the extent the issue of revenue neutrality would be part of that conversation, absolutely. But at the same time, if there's areas where we can tweak the mixture and actually generate more revenue in a way that doesn't hurt folks and can unite a collective effort, then I would also maintain an openness to that.
You've joked in the past that you're not really sure what the lieutenant governor of California does, and the LA Times reporting that you missed a lot of the meetings, which actually comprise the duties of the job, nearly half of University of California Board of Regents meetings, two-thirds of the CSU trustees meetings, and just over 40% of state lands commission meetings. So all of which begs the question of, do you like your current job?
I love my job, and those were comments made early on. And by the way, I worked for Lieutenant Governor Leo McCarthy. It was, and I appreciate your frame that I joked about it because I was completely tongue-in-cheek. I've made no bones about the fact that I think the Lieutenant Governor's office should be reformed. I think it should be run as a ticket with the governor's office, not independently elected. By the way, this is the best practice you see in states all across the country. I've been very active as lieutenant governor in creating an economic development plan for the state, putting together a higher education plan for the state. I've been very active on state lands and very proud of the record and proud of the last 7 years, including the ability to use the bully pulpit of the office around high-profile issues, going after the National Rifle Association, obviously leading the charge on marijuana legalization, which for me was a social justice issue, racial justice issue, and an economic justice issue.
Do you regret not attending more of those meetings?
I was very proud of the engagement. I think that article you were referencing makes the point that on all the tough votes, the votes where they needed me and tuition votes and the votes that were critical, we were there and we were engaged. And I also think that they also referenced the attendance of other ex officios. And I think we actually outperformed almost all, including previous lieutenant governors.
Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, one of the Democrats running for governor in the June primary. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Our podcast is produced by Sally Schilling and edited by Nick Miller. Chris Hagen is our digital editor, and the executive producer is Linnea Edmeyer.
Music by Kathleen Flynn.
If you're looking for more California political coverage, check out Keys to the House. That's Cap Radio's podcast on California's 2018 congressional races, which could decide whether Republicans or Democrats run the House of Representatives next year. You'll find it at capradio.org/podcasts, on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. That's also where you'll find our other episodes of California's Next Governor. We've interviewed the other five leading candidates in the race. PolitiFact California has been fact-checking the gubernatorial candidates at politifact.com/California. You can follow us on Twitter at AdlerBen and at Cap Radio News. And remember that thing called a radio? That's where you'll find Cap Radio's coverage of California politics and government every day, including Election Day. Our stories run on NPR stations throughout most of the state. I'm Ben Adler. Remember to vote by mail or in person no later than Tuesday, June 5th. And thanks for listening to California's Next Governor from Capital Public Radio.